How do you spell a book? I'll teach you right now. B as in, book. And O as in OBGYN. And K as in OK. But I won't read that book about an OBGYN anytime soon.
Hello and welcome to another fantastic episode of Not Your Normal Books. My name is Kalen. How are you guys doing today? I am doing fantastic. I just got back home from visiting, my sister, brother-in-law, and nephew are in town for the next week. And so this week I've been hanging out with them. My nephew has really learned to give kisses, so there's been a lot of tongue on my cheek. We went out to dinner with not only my brother-in-law's family, but with my family as well. So it was nice. We went to this nice hibachi grill. I took everyone to go get chocolates, is where we were at. There was a chocolate shop. And then all the parents, well, my mom and her boyfriend and his kids, they left while my sister's in-law, parents-in-laws left. So then me, my sister, and her family, and then her sister-in-law and their family and her family, we all went out and were just hanging around getting coffee and talking. And, you know, I've known my sister's sister-in-law for, how many years now? 17 years? I think. No. Yeah. Yeah. About, we've known each other for about 16, 17 years now. And, no, we were really good friends and we kind of drifted apart. But now that we've got family in common now, we're seeing a lot of each other. And so it was nice to just kind of see her and get caught up. And then we actually reminisce about like the first time we actually when we really became friends. So it was nice to kind of do that. And then we talked about some other stuff. So, I mean, it's been a good day. In case you're wondering, yes, I have found a new show that I'm watching and I'm addicted to. And I seem to do this to you guys almost every week. And I hope you like it. So this week, I've been really into watching Tournament of Champions. That's on the Food Network. And, you know, this is all a cooking-based show. And baking, I will try. I will try baking. I will not try cooking because the way that these chefs are cooking, because they're all like Michelin-starred chef and all these other things. And, you know, to see, like, they say that they have to do a North African style dish, they already know what to pick and choose from. I don't know. There's so many things that could go wrong with me doing it. Like, if I am cooking dinner, I am doing a basic recipe that I have done for years. I'm not going to try really something new unless there's a cookbook out in front of me. But so I'm absolutely loving this. I finished the first season. I'm in the second season. The third season is actually going to be premiering on TV like this weekend or next weekend. So I'm super excited about all of that. There's not too many books that I've read that I feel like I should recommend. I don't know. It's not that I haven't read any good books. It's just like not one that I feel like needs to be recommended right now. Oh man, I got so excited when I got home because like I don't mind wearing jeans. I really don't. But I will. But as soon as I'm home and I know I'm not going anywhere else, oh man, you bet your ass. I went up, I changed into a t-shirt because I had a sweater on, t-shirt and a pair of pajama pants. I'm just like, I am not going anywhere else today. So I am just going to change into these. So, oh, sorry. It's been a long week of work and everything else, so I'm just excited to not really have to do anything tomorrow. Tomorrow is just my laundry day. I got a little bit of research I have to do tomorrow, but then the rest of the day is mine, which I will probably be watching some sort of food competition show of some sort. Oh, okay. So, thinking about this, and I knew I wanted to say something about it. So I was scrolling through Facebook the other day, and I am part of a few different author Facebook groups. One author that I'm a member of is Tate James's Facebook group. So she had put on there that she was writing and she was just listening to music, and all of a sudden the song came on and she had to like replay it to listen to, because she thought she was mishearing the lyrics. She wasn't. And I listened to it once. I'm just like, oh my God, this is the greatest song ever. So if you guys want to give this song a listen to, I'm not going to really tell you what it's about at all, but the title does give a little bit of it away. If you want to look up the song Keep Writing Me by You're Pretty, and it's spelled U R, like the letters U, the letters R, pretty. I fucking love this song on so many goddamn different levels. It is amazing. So if you guys are going to check out this song, please wait to the end of this episode and then go ahead and do that. This is also the third episode, so at the end of the episode we will also be picking our next book, and I think in the next couple months I'll be adding a couple more titles to the candy jar. So all right, with all that being said and done, we're gonna get into our book now. The book that we have today is Enemy by A.J. Macy. As I said, this is the third and final book of the Aces series. I'll get into a little bit of something at the end of this. So our characters are Kira Chase Kier, I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly, or Kiar. I'm not entirely sure the correct pronunciation, but I believe that's it. Stone, Brooks, Garrett, Val, Elliot, Jace, Frankie, Lorenzo, and Venry. For the last 6 months, if you can remember to the last episode, the guys decided that they're going to say, we don't trust Kira anymore. They broke her trust and she left. So for the last 6 months, her and Chase have been in Europe. After about two months or so there, Chase would spend 2 weeks in Europe, come back, spend 2 weeks in the US helping the MC with some things, and then going back to Europe. Now, during that stay, Kira's been doing all these different jobs, but around the 6 month mark, she meets up with Elliot, who we met a little bit in the last book, and he lets her know that he has heard talk of Frankie putting a hit out on the Ace's motorcycle club. So she's just like, ah, shit. So she comes back to the States and, you know, things are a little rough between her and the guys. And mostly she is the one that is, I'm not going to say she's causing the issue. She doesn't want to trust the guys anymore because, you know, she has a hard time trusting people as is. So when they showed, like, when they did their whole we don't trust you type of thing, then yeah, it completely broke her trust in them. When she gets back, she also finds out that the guys are still living in the house that Chase had built for her. And, you know, this pisses her off a little bit. I mean, it would piss anyone off. Be like, your exes, we're not supposed to be together. Why the fuck are you still living in my house? Like, shit like that. And so she has the idea she's just going to ignore them because ignoring issues helps? No. But she's finding this a little bit harder than she expected to. Now, the guys aren't having the easiest time with her being back either. And, you know, there's a couple different reasons. Garrett, for instance, has been fluctuating between anger and hatred and longing and lust. But there's always, like, the self-loathing. And a lot of those emotions have always been, like, a go-to for Garrett. But, like, it's a little bit more now. When they were younger, they had told each other that, you know, they were always, they were never going to leave. Like, they would always be there for one another. But then she left. She broke that promise, which, seeing as what happened, can you blame her? No, no, absolutely not. Stone is still stoic and pissed off, but, you know, that's his usual thing. I think stoic is what I'm trying to think of. Yeah. But he blames himself for Kira's lack of trust and all the issues that he's having. And none of that is unfounded. Like, that's all pretty much true. Brooks, he doesn't really seem to have changed all that much, truthfully. Like, he is looking for forgiveness. And with how he's acting like Kira never left, that they're still together, and all of this is going to blow over. Things have changed a little bit in the MC, but really, the MC is, some of the members of the MC are disrespecting Kira, which, yeah, she has been gone for 6 months. Yes, I'm not going to say she left them high and dry, because she didn't, but, you know, the MC was blaming her for a lot of shit, so with her leaving, you know, I don't know where I'm going with this. So, with some of the members of the MC disrespecting her, Brooke overhears some of it, and he mostly overhears one member, so he demotes that person to a prospect, and it was just like, anyone else want to say anything? If you disrespect her again, you're going to get the same demotion. And so and Brooks also goes and says that Kira is his, Garrett's and Stone's old lady. Now, she doesn't like this whatsoever. And she tells him that. And she also says she's no one's old lady. With Garrett's emotions being all over the place, he hasn't really been sleeping. So Brooke sends him home. And when he gets home, he finds Kira there. So they have a slight heart-to-heart. And she's just like, you know what? You know everything that happened to me. Why do you think I would go back to work for Frankie? If you would have thought through what was happening, you would have realized I was turning someone. But you didn't think, like she's giving him all this information. And when she goes on to say more, Garrett stops her. But he stops her by kissing her. And then leaves her standing speechless while he goes and takes a nap. So we have the FBI that's still asking questions. So this is mostly Agent Venery. Now, her partner is not really seen so much anymore. And it turns out when she was gone and when Kira was gone and the FBI was still knocking on their door, Garrett was the one to really answer. And so both of them actually go to the door, they answer it, and, you know, Venery is a little surprised to see Kira there. And she's asking Garrett and Kira if they have any new information on Frankie, which, you know, gets like heightens Kira's listening. And once Venery leaves, she goes, Kira's just like, she knows something and I want to know what it is. So now they're going to find out what. So when they took out the MC, the Alloy Kings, they got a ledger. And this is a ledger that is between the Alloy Kings and Frankie's mob. And so they need to crack that to figure out what exactly they were doing for Frankie. So after many hours of beer, coffee, and energy drinks, they finally crack it. And they find out that the MC was pulling in a lot of weapon shipments. And so you have to think, what is the mob going to do with all that fucking firepower? And the answer is, nothing good. So Venery comes back to the house and she tells Kira, hey, I need you to come with me. So Kira goes, but she drives herself knowing that she's not actually under arrest. And if she drives herself, she can leave at any time. So Venery is asking about a lot of Frankie's associates and Jace. I think it's Jace Corden comes up quite a bit in this. And you're just like, okay, what's Venery trying to get at? And just like, when was the last time that you had seen, spoken to him? She's just like, I haven't wanted to speak or see any of these guys for years. This is Garrett's ex-best friend. And so she's just like, well, why is he an ex-best friend? And Kira's just like, because when I was 17, he tried to rape me. I'm just like, yeah, all those fucking friendships and everything's going to get cut the fuck off. And this is something that Venery did not know. But then she goes on to ask, do you know Bambi? And she's just like, yeah, unfortunately, I know Bambi. Turns out Bambi was murdered 6 months ago. When Kira left the States, went overseas, Bambi was killed and Jace followed. So this is something that Venery does. And this is how she got the nickname Bloodhound. Venery turns off the recorder and threatens Kira, basically saying if she doesn't want anything bad to happen to some of the high up officers of the Aces, then Kira will give Venery everything she wants. And if she doesn't, well, you know, the MC members are going to get thrown into prison, and that's going to be all her fault. So once the meeting's over, Kira goes up to Venery and says, "Next time you threaten me, keep the recorder on so everyone can know how you got the nickname Bloodhound." Because that is, I'm not 100% sure. I'm about like 75% sure. That's not fucking legal to do. I think if you are a, anything in the criminal justice field, if you are interrogating, questioning, whatever with someone, and you're, if it's being recorded, that recorder has to be on the entire time. Now, I could be very wrong about this. I don't know. I've never taken any criminal justice courses. I only know what I see on TV. Now, Kira has an idea. Venery wants information on Frankie, so she's going to get information on Frankie. What that means is that they're going to kidnap her old bodyguard, Lorenzo Bianchi. And to do this, they're going to call in the cavalry. The cavalry is Elliot and Val. Now, Elliot's excited. He's like super excited to be involved in any of this. And Val is promised for revenge when they go after Jace. Now, the guy is excluding Chase. Do not like Elliot because Elliot is a giant flirt. He's all over Kira. And so the guys are jealous. What they don't realize, and that Kira has to spell out for them, is that Elliot is gay. So, as I said earlier, Frankie had put a hit on the MC. So, an assassin comes, but is taken out. So, we finally get to the day that they're going to kidnap Lorenzo. And the people that are actually going to grab him are Chase and Elliot. Because they are the two people that, you know, not many people know exactly who they are. And it goes off without a hitch. So they take him back to the compound, to an outbuilding that is used to keep their, I don't want to say prisoners, kidnappees, whatever you want to call it. And so they put him in there. But unfortunately, Kira isn't, after hours of fucking torture, Kira is not able to break him. And this is when Val steps in. Kira goes home and she's waiting for when Lorenzo finally breaks. And her and Stone finally have a long-awaited talk. And this clears up a lot of why Stone is the way that he is. So, Stone's dad left when he was little, and his mom died of stage 4 breast cancer when he was 12. And from then, he was in and out of foster homes until he was 18. From then, he enlisted, he became a ranger, and after about a year and a half in, he got married and had a kid. And this throws Kira for a loop. Trust me, it throws all of us for a fucking loop. But he finds out that the child that he thought was his isn't. The child is actually his lieutenant colonel's. Now, his wife had been having an affair with his LT. And I found this to be interesting. This is what it said in the book, so I'm going to guess it's true. I don't really know too many people in the military to ask if this is true, and I did not Google it, and I probably could have Googled it. But in the military, it is illegal to commit adultery. So the LT colonel could have been imprisoned for this. Now, there's a day where one of their fellow soldiers was attacked and mugged, and Stone didn't have a solid alibi, so he so his LT threw him under the bus for it and said it was him. He got dishonorably discharged from the military. From there, he was homeless, living on the streets when a drug dealer tried to jump him. Stone defended himself and ended up beating this man to death. Brooks's father, who was the president of the MC at the time, saw this, and after finding out he was military, offered him a chance to be part of a new family. And Stone's story gives a lot of reasons why he has so many trust issues, because he trusted so many people, and that trust was just violated left, right, and center. So Lorenzo finally breaks, and he gives them information on the day that they're moving a large amount of merch, and then two smaller ones. And the date is set for December 31st, which is 10 days from now. I know it's not, but in the book it is. They decide that they need to get all the firepower that they can now, so they go to the bank. And while they're getting all the stuff from the bank, they're under attack. So someone had snitched again, and so they're fighting for their lives, but unfortunately, Dwight, the bank manager, is shot and killed. Now, this one is so hard for Kira, because she had met Dwight when she was 18. He went under he was known as a different name. He went by his actual name, which was Silas Rogers. Now, Silas was a underground fighter who wanted to get out. And after helping each other get out of a situation, she offered him a job. Both her and Brooks want to find out who snitched on them. And they make up a plan. Their plan is to hold a Christmas party and then try to figure out people's motives from there. But during this party, you know, they don't find anything. A bright thing that happens for Kira is that she can finally kill Lorenzo. Like, they got all the information they got out of him. They're not going to let him go. So she finally gets the one thing out of him that she's always wanted. She wanted Lorenzo to fear her. And right before he died, he did. So the next morning, they wake up to find Garrett gone. Now, Garrett had gone for a ride, and he was jumped and thrown into an SUV that has Jace in it. Now, Jace is beating Garrett something fierce. So when Kira finally wakes up and sees that Garrett's not there, her phone starts ringing, and it's Garrett's phone. So she's just like, "Where are you?" Turns out Jace is on the other line of that. And so he's just like, "You need to come and trade yourself for him," and all this other shit. And maybe. No, that didn't happen. Sorry. So they hang up. So she finally gets off the phone and she's just like, we need to get the cavalry together. Frankie has Garrett. We need to get him before he's killed. So they make this plan. So along with all of the patch holders of the MC, along with Val, Elliot, and Kira, and Chase, they're going to quote unquote storm the castle. No, it's not a real castle. They're going to go into the casino. While they're making these plans, the person who ratted them out came clean. And it's the doctor. Now we find out this doctor has stage 4 cancer, has only been given so much time left to live. And when the mob had found out, they said, you're gonna do whatever the fuck we want you to do. And if you don't, we're gonna take your daughter and you're never gonna see her again. And you're not gonna know what we're doing to her. And Kira understands. She does. She understands why the doc did this. And they choose not to kill him, knowing he only has a little bit of time left, but they banish him. They get to the casino. They slowly storm it. They find Garrett. They free him. They hand Jace over to Val. But before Val takes Jace, Garrett does something very unexpectedly. Gets down on one knee. Proposes, Kira says yes, and Jace is pissed off and taken away. Now, everyone in Frankie's compound is, or in Frankie's employ is dead, except for Frankie himself and his own personal guards. And Kira has a plan of how to get rid of them. Because Frankie is in a room that can only be accessed by an elevator that Frankie has control of. And the only way to get into the room that Frankie's in is from the inside, where Frankie is. So she gives the guys the plan. And then they execute the plan. And the plan is this: Kira is going to go by herself into the elevator. She's going to take the elevator up and go into the room alone with Frankie. The guys are going to take a hidden stairwell. They're going to take that up, that is going to lead to a hidden doorway where the guards are, where they will take out the guards. And then they will wait until Kira is done with Frankie. And this, again, goes off without a hitch. Now, Frankie says to Kira right before he kills her, or right before she kills him, that she's always hid behind men and she's nothing, but she pulls out her biggest achievement. Anytime that Kira steals something, she leaves a memento. That memento is a business card with a cat paw print on it. Frankie realizes that Kira has been the cat. Then Kira shoots and kills Frankie. Once she goes to the room, once she lets the guys into the room, she finds out that they had lost only 4 of their own people and it's time to go home. So on their way home, they stop at her old childhood house. They burn it to the ground. Varney shows up to her door telling her that her father had passed away and that mysteriously a USB drive showed up at her desk with incriminating evidence to a whole bunch of people, including her own partner. So they're all behind bars because of this incriminating evidence. And Varney also tells her that she'll be seeing her around. And that is the end of book three. One of the things that I really, really loved about this series was you had this badass female who showed, you know, it's okay to ask for help, but you can do stuff on your own. I like that. I like that she is not the damsel in distress type. I love that AJ had written her like that, because sometimes you get these authors who write these and who write romance novels that show, you know, the female being helpless at every turn. And sometimes those books are great. I love how it was not used in this. I love that it was like a straightforward, no bullshit, bitch gets her shit done sort of thing. And I said before that Chase was my favorite character. And the reason is, it's because of the it's because of the dissociative identity disorder, where you have both Chase and Cure. There, and I really don't know if it's cure. I have no idea. I don't even know if they're being pronounced differently or the same. I have no idea. I googled it. I said it out loud. So we're gonna go with cure. Kiar was how it was pronounced. Anyway, yeah. But you have this dynamic in between them, to where you get to see a little bit of physical change when say Kiar takes over, and then just to see the change again once it comes back to being Chase. And I love that. I love the complexity of it. And I do find the subject of did very fascinating. We have another book that we will get to at some point where one of the main characters has did, and I'm very excited to do that book. I've read quite a bit of AJ Macy's work, and every single one of her books are so different from the last. It is truly amazing. Yeah, so I truly love this book. I think this is another book that would be like really great as a TV series or a mini series or something like that, on maybe not television, but like on like a streaming service. We are actually going to pick our next book now. While I am stirring up. The book recommendations. You guys can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Not Your Normal Books Podcast. You can also find me or email me on email me at notyournormalbooks@gmail.com. Any thoughts and feelings that you guys have, any book recommendations, any questions, anything like that. Also, please rate, subscribe, and review. Every little bit helps. All right, without further ado, not looking. I have one book that I want to do. I am just waiting for it. Okay, we have The White Trash Trilogy by Brandi Slavin. This is a 3-book series. So that will be our next series that we will be doing. So I will see you guys next week for that. Till then, have a good week.